Film Vault.
Yeah! Film Vault. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening on the Film Vault.
Snap crackle.
No popping. That's Anderson making the popping noises. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts for today, the long-awaited, much postponed, top five non-car, non-vehicular chase scenes. Well, not involve vehicles that are not cars, but let's call them non-car chase scenes. We did a top five car chases. I think it was a Joel McHale episode. Wasn't it? Or was that top five cars? Shit, now I remember.
It was car chases, and we both gave you shit because you did something clever and cute.
That's what I do.
And Joel and I kind of piled on and made fun of you.
That's my move.
I think you did some kind of Star Wars shit.
Star Wars is extremely clever and cute.
Very few
No,
cars
it would have been more clever than that, for sure. I remember what it was.
I think that's what it was.
I have to go back and listen. Hey, go back and listen to all of our old
that
episodes
was a
at
painful
AndersonBryan.com.
Going back to that Joel McHale episode, we did it in this trailer on the set of Community on the Paramount
right.
lot. And,
wasn't it hot?
I was sick as a dog. It was like the hottest day of the year, and we were in this trailer. And we
it
had
was
to turn,
really hot.
We had to turn the AC off because...
Oh, that's
so
right.
Hot.
No, because the AC was buzzing.
It was so loud.
And to what weren't
it was
the,
so
you
hot.
Had, you had two recorders.
So hot on the microphone.
Ooh. But you had two recorders, and they were unsynced, and you like constantly had to go back and like get them.
There was problems. I don't know. It was a pain in the ass. All right, here
it's
we
amazing
go.
This show gets on the air every week.
Let's.
Credit to the Babadook over there, Logan. He's so far away.
Not really his name.
Well, that's how people know him now.
Yeah, what Brian refers to is our console in the studio has been moved about 15 feet.
Mm.
Not a big deal, but Brian has to bring it up, and it would have been just a factor.
Yep.
But Brian had to bring it up.
Now
so
it's out there. Now deal with it.
We dealt with it on the after disaster earlier today.
Oh, well,
earlier tonight.
Me.
We talked about
what do you mean earlier tonight?
I already did an after disaster in here.
What?
Yeah.
Why are you doing shows before Love Line?
We talked about American Hippopotamus.
No, what?
That's a movie that we're all going to be very excited about when it comes time.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. American Hippopotamus. True story.
What happens there?
It's a story that takes place. This is a little like Red Light, Green Light, which I fucking green light this, baby. True story, I guess like back in the 1910s, when the United States was, the population was exploding, two entrepreneurs decided that, fuck cows, hippos. That's what's going to feed this.
Really?
This
hippos are going to be a source of food?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of them was like a. Anyway, I don't know if it was 1910s. I have very little information on this because I think one of them was a Black Panther. So I don't think. Yeah, I don't think 1910s really works there. But apparently these two hated each other as well. So bad news.
Well, the population explosion was right before the baby boom in the 50s.
Bad news is Brett Ratner's involved. So we'll see. American hippopotamus.
You know what the most dangerous, deadliest animal on Earth is?
Well, in Africa, it's the hippopotamus.
It's the hippo. Causes more human deaths.
We also talked about what else did we talk about? We talked about Puddle's Pity Party. Puddle's Pity Party.
I don't know what's going on here. You're saying so many words that aren't making sense.
It's a sad clown that sings amazing songs. Check out Puddle's Pity Party, everybody. All right, here we go.
Logan, did you get some some negative attention for the episode last week?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, a few people prejudged the episode without even listening to it.
How do you know that? Are you at their house and you're watching them before?
Based on comments, Twitter,
whatever. Why
Facebook?
No, I want to bring up because Logan busts his butt to get the episode up every week on time and generally without, well, always without technical issues. And this happened to be out of our control. And credit to you, Babadook, for always coming through.
It's
putting
Babadook.
Up a.
I appreciate that.
It's not his name.
No.
Let's rock. Let's roll.
Anyway,
let's look fast.
Can we fire him now?
Way to go, Logan. You're fired.
That's your severance. Pound the back. Flick fashions.
Good job.
Confess the flicks we've seen in the past week. Anderson.
Hmm.
You want to start?
Yeah.
You can go first if you want to.
We're not doing
this. We haven't done this in a long time.
We're not doing it.
We haven't
it.
Done
no,
this
no.
dance. Okay. I'll go first. Unless. I'll
Puddles
go first.
Pity Party.
Is that a movie you've seen?
Puddles Pity Party.
Do you want to talk about it?
No.
I don't know what that is.
No.
Okay. Because you can go if you want to.
Oh, my God, Brian. Way worse than any snap, crackle, popping is you doing this bit.
I saw a film.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar nominated.
I'm pretty sure you saw. Say the title. Just give me the title.
You saw Big Hero 6, right?
Yes.
Saw Big Hero 6.
Yes, I saw it.
Directed by Don Hall and Chris Williams. That's not a funny joke.
It's kind of funny.
It's kind of funny. Nominated for Best Animated Feature. Big Hero 6. Okay, I don't remember what your thoughts were on it. You want to briefly describe what you
thought? That was pretty
good. Okay.
It was not in love. I'd like to see a half Asian kid as the lead. That was interesting little. Yep. Never seen
animated
like
film,
that
of course.
Uh, I can't really
It's set in the future in San Francisco.
San Francisco, yes. It's across between San Francisco and Tokyo. They don't quite explain if the Japanese came over here and conquered us, because there's a lot of Japanese influence. There already are up in San Francisco.
Yes, I was going to say, there's somehow made it less Asian influence.
Like 50 years from now, they'll have you believe that the actual Golden Gate Bridge
leads right to Tokyo.
Looks like an Asian bridge.
Yeah, they added the Asian
design, yeah. So I don't know if they came over here in the Pearl Harbor 2.
Because it was the port of San Francisco, so I'm guessing the city somehow merged.
I'm going to go with alternate universe, and it was a fine film.
No,
it's
the future. It's definitely in the future because of the robots and everything.
Yeah, it's set in the future, but it's an alternate universe future. I don't think that San Francisco actually. I don't know if there's actual backstory.
Well, hold on a second, Anderson. Isn't all future alternate universes?
Yes, it's true. Well, so what did you think of the Big Hero 6?
I really liked Big Hero 6. Maybe my expectations were lowered for a couple of reasons. Number one, didn't hear a lot about it. No one's raving about Big Hero 6. Number two, didn't enjoy How to Train Your Dragon 2 very much.
I don't know what's wrong with
that. And it's supposed to be it still is the odds-on favorite to win the Oscar, How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And number three, the whole Lego thing kind of left a bad taste in my mouth.
Right.
I got snubbed for the nomination and such. I really enjoyed Big Hero 6. I thought it was a fun movie. I don't think it's a Disney movie.
What did you like about it there, Brad?
What did I like about it? So it opens with a great opening scene with the robots, the Avatar robots fighting, and instantly I was like, this scene is better than anything I saw in How to Train Your Dragon 2. I was instantly on board.
I don't know what's your problem.
There's
with
a great scene where the big white robot on the poster,
Michelin
the
Man.
One that you all see, the Michelin Man,
the out of shape Michelin Man.
Yes, his name is Baymax. Well, Michelin Man's kind of out of shape.
No, but at least he's ripped.
That's true. He also throws tires.
Yeah, he's in shape. This guy, not so much.
This guy's name is Baymax. Like Betamax, I guess is kind of a joke.
Right.
But there's a great scene where his battery's running low, and it's like, so he's drunk. Actually, I think the actor's playing him like a drunk. It's a really funny scene. It's one of the funnier scenes I've seen in a kid's movie.
So this movie works. It
does work.
It got me choked up a little bit, and that's a good
dusty
sign.
At the end.
Yeah.
If there's a weakness, I think it's that the movie kept reminding me that it was a kid's movie. Like the flatulent humor, and there was some clumsy.
There wasn't a lot of that.
He was constantly letting air out.
Yeah, I know, but
constantly letting air out. It was a recurring joke that didn't need to recur.
It would sound like that.
Didn't need to address it.
Yeah.
Maybe once.
It's not nearly as bad as that fucking movie Robots, where the robots are all gassy. That makes no sense.
They're
not biological.
True.
This is
a solid movie, and I'll bet it wins the Oscar.
Whatever. Who cares? Lego Movie should win the Oscar.
Well, of course, but I'm saying of the five nominees.
The fuck?
Yes, I agree.
The Lego Movie,
far, far better.
The producers of Lego Movie need to somehow hire Kanye West to go to the Oscars.
Jump the stage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he'll get up there and he'll explain that Lego Movie was way better.
I agree with that. So, yeah, Lego Movie. Listen, if you're at home and you don't have kids and you're like, what should I see? Should I see an animated film? Should I see this or should I see Lego? Don't even think about it. Go see Lego Movie. This is a good movie.
Movies,
and enjoyed it.
Movies like this, Big Hero 6 and Chappie, without, completely deconstructing them and talking about them, it's kind of, we don't need to do that. But A.
Why not? We're a film show.
Yeah, I know, but it's a fucking cartoon. It's a cartoon.
Anime films are more consistently higher quality than films.
Sometimes. But, I kind of grade them like they work or they don't work. If they get me emotionally attached, they work.
Yeah.
Like Chappie. Chappie's coming out here in March. If Chappie, the Neil Blomkamp filmmaker, director of District 9, if this one makes me cry.
Elysium.
If this one makes me cry, if Chappie makes me sad,
it works.
I think it works.
Okay.
You know what didn't make me sad and didn't get me hooked at all?
What's that?
Jupiter Ascending.
Oh.
Jupiter Ascending.
I'll probably see it eventually, too.
The new Wachowski sibling film. I saw this. You know what? It's a big movie. It could have been a summer movie. I think that
it's
at one point,
be, I think.
It was. You're talking a lot
Sorry,
while
buddy.
I'm talking.
I really
it's
am.
Difficult.
I really am.
Difficult to speak.
Carry on.
At one point, it was supposed to be a fall movie. At another point,
That was intentional.
You didn't have to explain.
I just made that up on the spot.
Brian, don't you think we should give the listeners like a solid show since we fucked them last week? You know what I mean? What are you doing?
Someone actually commented on AndersonandBrian.com and said, solid show aside from the fuck up in the top five. So I appreciated that.
Excited for the fuck up in the top five last week?
Aside from the fuck up in the top five. Okay, yeah. Solid show. Starting now.
Okay.
Fuck everything that happened before.
Jupiter Ascending.
Supposed to be a summer movie.
And it was at one point it was going to be a fall movie, and then they released it in the dreaded February month, which is bad time. So, you know, I went in with low expectations. I was following the scores on Rotten Tomato all week to see that it's a paltry 22%. 22% of critics that watched it actually enjoyed it.
I feel like my guess for the gambling was in the neighborhood of 70%.
No, I think that you win again.
What?
Yeah. We'll find out at the end.
We'll see.
I'm pretty sure that I said 51 and you said 40 or something. I
doubt that very much.
All right, here we go. Jupiter Ascending. First of all, starring. It's a reminder that you can have a massive budget and you can have stars such as Channing Tatum, Mila Kunis, and Eddie Redmayne, who's up for an Academy Award. Eddie Redmayne is in this. He plays one of the villains. He plays. You might know him from Theory of Everything, where he plays Stephen Hawking. Realistic rendition of Stephen Hawking.
Oh, yeah.
It's very believable.
Probably
convincing.
Win the Oscar for it.
And, Brian, would you stop with your predictions? That's next week. We do that next week.
I'm just saying, strictly for the odds, the bookmakers.
It's shocking watching him in this movie and thinking that he's up for Best Actor this year another movie. Yeah.
No.
Bad times.
Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum, I think that he went to see some kind of guru who is capable of stripping you of all charisma.
Wow.
Yeah. He plays a half dog, half... fucking something that used to have wings.
To be fair, I've never really been on the Channing Tatum.
I like Channing Tatum quite
train.
A bit. He's got a good sense of humor and I enjoy him. Completely gone from the Mila Kunitz. She's in a different movie altogether. The movie right off the bat, there's a lots of Cinderella overlap, and I actually wrote Cinderella in my fucking phone because I got her scrubbing toilets and whatnot.
Right.
Before they actually started talking about Cinderella on the screen.
So there's overtones.
Just let me know. This is a Cinderella type story, all right? Very similar themes to The Matrix. Super, super confusing, though. But essentially, the Earth is, and I'm not giving anything away. They let you know this pretty soon. But there's so much talking. So much showing us what's happening.
I've heard it's needlessly elaborate.
Mila Kunis is somehow the one. She's the one, like Neo,
she's
right?
Neo.
And the Earth is one of many planets that's actually just used as a harvesting station for these very elite aliens that just use us. We're not really sure what for, but like it opens up and they're on another planet and we're some striking imagery, some beautiful stuff. And yeah, with CGI nowadays, you kind of come to expect it. So unless you do something really special with that, it's going to kind of go in one eye out the other. There's some striking stuff here, some really big ships, some pretty universal stuff. Out there in the universe, but I'd never really felt like everything was in perspective so that I can kind of like wrap my mind around it and go, oh, it was quite a bunch of talking heads, like this evil family that owns everything. At the end, essentially, it's an indictment of capitalism. It's like an anti-capitalistic movie.
Those always work.
Also very, very anti-stem cells. You pick that up along the way. They hate the stem cells. very, very similar themes to The Matrix.
Right.
Like, they just kind of repackaged it and repurposed it. Now,
with a female lead.
Lana Wachowski, obviously is on the side of less is more, right?
By chopping off the penis?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that translates to film.
She lost her penis.
Right.
She thought less would be more in real life.
Do we know for a fact she's lopped it off, or is she just living as a woman?
Well, you know, I believe that she's on her way there.
Okay, transitioning. To the
I don't know this person.
Okay.
I know Bound, which I love.
Bound's
Matrix,
great.
Love that.
Yep.
Atlas Cloud. Cloud Atlas, not so much.
Some good stuff there,
this
though.
One even less. They need to figure out less is more.
Did you see Speed Racer?
No. Have you ever, this is going to be tough, have you ever heard of Jet Set Radio?
The video game.
It's like a cult video game. Okay. Came out of Japan, and essentially, it's like you play a really badass inline skater.
Logan
like,
must know it.
You know Jet Set Radio? They're Logs. Tell me.
Old PlayStation game.
Yeah. You're on your rollerblades there, skating around town like Tokyo, and you're spray painting shit, Brian. And then the cops come after you.
Uh-oh.
Like, you know, if the cops come after you before you finish your piece. Anyways, you're
it's like their version of Grand Theft Auto.
It was before Grand Theft Auto, but that's essentially what Channing Tatum's character is doing throughout this movie. He has these horrible boots where he skates in the air. It's cringeworthy. I'm cringing. I was like floating above my seat with cringe bumps. If you took Dune, The Matrix, a horrible movie that I forgot all about called Wing Commander. Do you remember Wing Commander?
I remember that the first trailer for Star Wars was attached to Wing Commander.
Wing Commander
became a hit because
with Matthew Lillard,
that's right,
and
Freddie
Prinze Jr.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
One of the most action-packed, boring movies you'll ever see. So you got a little Dune, the movie Dune, Matrix, Wing Commander, throw a little Flash Gordon with a touch of Terry Gilliam, and you shake it all up, and you got this movie. Mm. Yeah. Chicago gets the nice royal treatment as host of the action, a lot of the action, which was kind of nice.
That's
to
nice.
See. Yeah, it's usually L.A. or New York or Tokyo. Mm. But a lot of clunkers, man. A lot of like stuff that was supposed to be funny, and it just wasn't. It just fell flat. I watched my watch throughout a lot of this. And it's,
is it long?
It's 2 hours, 2 minutes. There was some really cool big lizard, talking lizard dudes that I was hoping that they'd do more with those guys because they looked pretty cool. They looked pretty badass.
I'm going to have to wait to see this at home.
But I don't know if you even have to see it at home. It's just schlocky.
I feel like I have to
it
see feels, it. Was there anything?
Very okay, PG-13.
Even their bad movies, the ones that I've seen, the third Matrix movie, Cloud Atlas, parts of it, at least had some interesting philosophical things going on.
What it comes down to is, like I told you, it's very anti-capitalism.
Right.
Very anti-capitalism, very anti-class system. And they touch on stem cell research, essentially.
Hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, like the traditional alien that we're all accustomed to, like the one from Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah, Big Head.
The Big Head. They play a part in this, which was kind of interesting, too. But it's just less is more. You watch the original Alien, you know, and that alien meant so much. Here, lizards.
You hardly ever saw it.
Lizards are in your face the entire time. Those creepy aliens are all up in your business constantly. It's the Wachowski brothers. They're siblings. They're really good at what they do. Mm-hmm. So there were those moments. But then you're like, I've seen this before. I've seen you guys do this before. And I've seen everyone else, ton of other people trying to do this. Yeah. Couple of moments where like actually the hairs went back, stood up on the back of my neck for once.
Well, there are talented directors. They are probably put together a handful of good scenes in this movie because they can. They're not incompetent. They lost their way a little bit.
I guess I appreciate the fact that they do what they do and they're kind of. I don't know. I get the sense that they're making it for themselves. But then again, it was PG-13. I mean, this needed to be R if it was to do anything else, and it felt like a Cinderella story. But I saw it in my favorite theater. The Man Village, it used to be the Man Village. Now it's the Regency Village, the giant theater. It's
down here in Westwood?
Yeah, Marquee Theater in Westwood. I've been seeing movies there since I was like 5 years old.
It's a huge screen.
I was in there. Two other people were in there.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot of...
Enough Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, it's a lot of empty seats. I saw a film.
Two other people.
There's not three. Jupiter Ascending, but an Oscar nominee.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen... You probably haven't because it's hard to. I was lent a screener of Tangerines.
Oh,
have you seen Tangerines?
No, I was just reading about this movie.
Tangerines is nominated for best foreign language film at this year's Oscars. It's directed by Zsa Zsa. It's spelled Z A Z A. I'll guess that's Zsa Zsa. Urushadze. Mm-hmm. Urushadze. This is a Georgian film. It's about a tangerine farmer.
Not the bulldogs.
What? No, not Georgia, the University of Georgia in the southern United States. No, this is Georgia in like the, Soviet Union.
Ukraine.
Ukraine is another country.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Georgia is also a country. Right. So is Estonia. And
thank you for the lesson.
Well, this comes into play. I wish I knew more about the politics of that area because what happens is there's a tangerine farmer, an old man, and he's living out in the very rural. Is he in Georgia or Chechnya? I think he's in Georgia.
It doesn't really matter to the listener nor myself.
Okay, let's just say it's Georgia. I'm hoping I fucked this up. He's living out in the middle of the country. They're in rural Russian area.
Yeah.
It's the former Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. And he's a tangerine farmer. And the rebels are coming through and militants are passing through on their way to battle through his little front yard, basically. Mm-hmm. And
they're passing on his lean. It's like a
Civil War
easement. Easement.
It's like what you would see in the Civil War movies about our country. The soldiers just marching through. Mm-hmm. Generally, it's a small platoon of, two or five soldiers or whatever. Yep.
Do they pluck tangerines on their way by?
Oh, no. They take what they want. They grab a tangerine.
Oh, yes, they do.
Oh, yeah, but they don't pluck. I thought you meant like four to help them pick. No, they don't help them at all. They're out for their own.
You want something, you pluck it from the trees.
Precisely. So he's picking tangerines, and all of a sudden there's a big explosion, and he looks, and there's been a firefight, and there's a firefight outside of his house, pretty much, and everyone's dead except for one guy, and he pulls the guy into his house, sets him on a bed, and set to
rehab. You know what I feel like right now? I feel like a blind and deaf person, and you're describing what's going on the screen before me.
Well, I'm telling the first act of the film.
Yeah, you're
What?
Piece by piece, like frame by frame, you're explaining first, exactly
first
what happened.
It's first act of the film.
Painting pictures with words.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So well, he goes
a good
to
thing.
You go, oh, you're painting pictures with words. That was a good
I don't
thing.
Know if you should be.
Kind of what I do. I'm a best-selling author.
Christ almighty.
Logan, don't laugh at that. So he goes to bury the other bodies,
yes.
And as he's shoveling dirt, he notices one of them's still alive.
Okay. Well, I want you to stop talking.
This is the setup of the film. He pulls the other one inside, and the first guy starts to recover faster. And he's like, what happened to my friend? He's like, dead. He's like, who killed him? Oh, the guy in the other room. Well, I'm going to kill him.
Oh.
No, you're not.
Sweet.
There'll be no killing in my house.
Okay.
And he goes,
all right.
I'll wait till he's better, then I'll kill him. And he's like, no, there'll be no killing.
Stop it. I like this. I love this
and
premise.
Then it becomes, and this sets up the whole film. He says, all right. There will be no killing in the house, but as soon as he's better, he and I will leave the house and I will kill him. And thus begins the film, and they exist in this little world, this little Switzerland.
Fantastic.
Yeah, this little Switzerland of this house where they can't kill each other because the guy's already sworn it,
right.
But they hate each other. He's a mercenary from, what, is he Chechenian or the fuck is he?
Right.
He's from...
It sounds like a very smaller version of Black Sea.
I don't know. Oh, yeah, Black Sea, you just saw
where
that.
It's a bunch of Liamese and a bunch of Ruskies on a... submarine.
Yes.
And they all hate
so
each other.
The guy. It's the two warring enemies who are trapped in this trap.
It's
they,
like a
they can leave anytime they want, but
right, great
bloodshed.
Tangerine.
Yeah, tangerines.
Tangerine. Perhaps you.
Plural.
Perhaps you still have this screener.
I still have the screener.
Perhaps you have the screener on your person.
I do not have it on person because I anticipated I was losing this week. I'll let you borrow it though. Leave it in my mailbox.
All right, here we go.
Mailbox.
Moving on. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because Brian's just wax poetic.
Tangerines is really good.
Pulls the entire first act of a
so
film.
So much better than Ida.
Frame by frame. He was actually at one point, he was referencing, he has a manuscript here. It's the actual script.
Then on page 13 of the script, he says, man, these are delicious tangerines.
Right. You know that thing in movies where they put something down?
Right.
And they push it
towards. They slide
towards,
it ever so slowly.
I just did that for you.
Okay.
There you go. Box trolls.
Box trolls.
The box trolls.
Box
back,
trolls.
Back in your court. You may have that. You may own that. You may never give that to me again.
Because you've already seen it and you love it?
You can keep it.
You didn't like Box Trolls?
The Box Trolls up for best animated feature this year at the Oscars. Brian made me watch it last week. I was hoping that I would be swept off my feet. Brian really seemed to like it.
I did like it.
That goddamn white hat.
The white hat.
Mm-hmm.
The white hat's so great.
So
the cheese eaters.
I'll kill everyone for a white hat. Essentially, here's the story. There's some creatures. They're called box trolls. They live underground. They come out at night. They're essentially rodents of the city.
But
there's no bridges or anything. They're not asking for tolls.
No, they live in the sewers.
You got to pay the trolls toll if you want to get into this boy's hole. So,
boy's hole?
There's a society like the Illuminati, I guess. They wear white hats. They run all the shit. It's like Parisian city streets. Is it England? I don't know. It's something old and cobblestoned. Some man comes along with very skinny legs, as most of them do in this film. And he has a horrid gap teeth. He dresses up like a woman at times, which is unexplained. And he desperately wants to be part of the white hat betrothed society.
Yeah, basically the town elders, basically.
Right. And they say, you know what? We'll give you a white hat, or maybe he proposed it to them. I will get rid of all these box trolls.
I'll rid the town of the box
all
trolls.
All these nuisances.
Because the box trolls steal things.
But I believe what he was kind of smart about it. He started a propaganda campaign to make everyone hate the box trolls.
Yeah,
be afraid
campaign.
Of the box trolls. So it was propaganda. He cruised around town on a little loudspeaker and sent out pamphlets and whatnot.
Very smart. Very cunning.
And then they said, okay, great. So he goes on his trek. And of course, we've all seen it before. Fish out of water.
Because he says the box trolls are stealing the children.
One of the box trolls is actually a child. He was born and raised with the box trolls. I can't remember if they explained why he was down
there.
They do.
Yeah. It's a big...
Don't remember.
No. I don't like this movie. They basically raised him as their own.
So he's a box troll, but he's a little boy. He's a cute little boy. Mm-hmm. They have a montage of him growing up with them, and you know the box trolls are what they are. They sound like Gizmo.
They're kind of like
the
Despicable Me yellow the yellow guys.
I don't watch that.
But you're familiar with them.
Yes, the Minion.
The Minions. That's right. Yes. Thank you.
Grotesque characters.
Sorry, the yellow guys is racist.
Grotesque characters all around. I mean, it's just a grotesque film.
It was kind of great grotesque.
It's hard to look at. It was a hard to look at film.
The trolls are delightful. The humans are ugly.
Yeah, even the trolls are a little bit gross, but the humans are really disgusting.
Yep.
Especially the main bad guy who's trying to kill
him. He's great. Ben Kingsley.
Then we have a little girl who I guess could have been like the one pretty little thing to look at, and they make her a horrible little bitch.
Didn't you love
the
main bad guy?
She was evil.
Didn't you love his character, his twist, the twist about his character, the one thing he couldn't
do? He wants cheese really, really badly, right. And I'll leave it at that. Cheese is what he aspires to get.
The whole town is predicated on cheese. I think it's called like Cheese Town or something like that, and the elders, like all they do instead of passing laws and running the city, they just eat fine cheese.
Run the city.
Instead of running the city, they just sit around and eat fine cheese. That's all they do. He wants to be a part of that.
And
he wants to be a part of the cheese eaters.
And there's actually a catch there. He just can't catch a break, this kid. I'll let you guys discover that on your own. You can watch it with kids. You could do a lot worse. It's not awful. It's not great either. I didn't really catch
it. I really enjoyed it.
It did not really suck me in. What I was starting to say is that little girl, like I wished that she was something more innocent and cute and something I could look to. I guess the little boy kind of played that part, but she was as heinous a character as anyone in this film. Like I said, typical fish out of water story. And is it wrong to say, or was I reading too much into it, but was the whole thing kind of an allegory for the Holocaust?
Interesting. I mean... A group was rounded up by one guy, a minority,
and he kind of like started the whole thing with the propaganda.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
They lived. I mean, I kind of got that the same gist from watching Time Machine. I don't think you've seen Time Machine, but it's similar. Anyways,
it could be
Box Trolls. I found it kind of hard to look at, to be honest. A lot. Now, did you watch through the credits and see like the guy building the stuff?
No, I didn't. Although I enjoyed the animation.
Bri.
Well, I got it right here. I can watch it now.
It's actually quite cute and clever. Actually, one of my favorite parts of the film is the very end. Movie's over now, and two of the henchmen, two of the main guys, remember you had those two henchmen that were kind of on the fence? They were standing there. I believe it was those two. Anyways, and they were talking about how long it takes, and how they're pondering the universe, and how maybe like just moving their arm is actually somebody else doing that for them, and it took forever. Like me winking right now, this took one man 10 hours to do, and they actually show have a guy time lapse of a guy actually doing all the work on them, which was kind of interesting.
That's pretty neat. I wish I would have seen that. Was the Tracy Morgan thing distracting to you?
You know what's funny is we interpret things and. Processing so differently. I completely forgot that you told me Tracy Morgan was in this movie, and when I saw his name at the end, I'm like, oh yeah, that was Tracy Morgan. Didn't even occur to me.
That's so funny.
Did not bother me at all.
Okay, well, there you go. We had different interpretations of the film from big to small.
I almost wanted to go back and rewatch his scenes and because I wasn't picking up that he was Tracy Morgan at all when I was watching it.
Okay.
What did he say?
It's everyone in the film is so British. They're so British.
His last line was, "I've lost so much blood. I'll make you pregnant."
Kind of. That's kind of what that character was like. Finally,
I still got one more.
I know. So finally, for me, I saw a film.
I had the most terrifying movie I've seen all year.
Me too.
Really?
In a way. Uh-huh. Not nominated for an Oscar. Somehow, snubbed. But a lot of people told me I had to see Tusk. You're right.
Yeah, don't say Tusk right after I take a big swig of my
sorry.
Tea.
Sorry, buddy.
Let's go. Let's talk Tusk.
Written and directed by Kevin Smith, starring Justin Long, Michael Parks, the lovely Michael Parks, Haley Joel Osment, Genesis Rodriguez, and Johnny Depp.
Lovely Michael Parks.
I love Michael Parks. This movie is full of unlikable characters. The character you're supposed to hate, I think, I like the most. I like the Michael Parks character the most. He's by far my favorite character. Mm-hmm. At least he had some pathos to him, like something, some emotional connection. You felt bad for him, I guess, in a way.
He gave it his all.
He did.
As an actor.
Michael Parks fucking went for it.
He was committed.
Absolutely. You can't say anything otherwise.
And I think that some of the other actors in the movie weren't as committed, or they thought they were making much more of a broad comedy, whereas he was not.
People
given
did
that
not seem
note.
To be on the same page. I will definitely give you that.
Did not.
I know Justin Long's character is supposed to be abrasive, but holy shit!
Yeah, it was over the top. It's Kevin Smith. That's what Kevin Smith does. I mean, go back to Randall. Think of, you know, Clerks. He hasn't grown up. He hasn't changed his style, really.
The difference, though, Randall was funny and witty.
Yeah.
Justin Long was just we all want to see the things happen to him that happened.
But, you know, and in fairness, Kevin Smith, he was setting us up so that we could enjoy watching what ends up happening to him. You know what I mean?
How much?
If he was like a nice, likable character, if it was Haley Joel Osment's character,
right?
Even though he was a horrible prick too,
yeah.
But like, you know, we'd feel worse. Honestly, I'd rather feel worse than I don't know. Can go either way.
You gotta pick a side. That's the point.
Yeah.
Right. How much should we talk about what goes on in this movie?
I think too much. I went in without knowing anything.
Me too.
You didn't know.
I didn't know anything. I really didn't know anything. I knew that there was an old man, like a cabin in the woods
situation. I think the only way to really enjoy this movie, and I did, and I still defend it. People give me a lot of shit for liking it, and like people have watched it and sent me emails saying, "I can't believe that you must have been joking and this and that." I enjoy the originality of this movie. I enjoy the fact that I will never forget this movie. I enjoy the fact that I can take a swig of tea here
and almost
a year after I've seen the movie.
Spit it out.
Brian just says the title and I almost like do a spit take. It's one of those movies. There's so much trash that goes in one eye out the other. This movie will stay with you. For bad
you
or
know
for
what? In a way, you're right. I will give you that. In mostly bad ways, it stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
It stuck with me, though. I mean, that's an accomplishment, right? How many fucking movies do we see that we're like, I think I saw that, or I don't remember anything about it, or
whatever.
Way too
many, yeah.
So, I guess, weirdly, credit where it's due. Fucking A. At one point when Tusk by Fleetwood Mac started playing.
I didn't notice that.
In the climactic scene?
I don't remember
that. Showdown?
It's been a while.
I can only take so much ironic standing outside the fire humor. The pointing and laughing. If you're going to be funny, be funny. Don't be the ironic, you know, here's the soundtrack song that we're all thinking about. I don't know, man. I didn't like that.
What was I going to say?
Also, okay. We need to talk about Johnny Depp for a second.
He ruins everything.
He ruined this. Nothing we could be ruined by any one actor. However,
Johnny, somebody needs to have the balls and say, "Look, Johnny, you're a very attractive guy.
Right?
I guess you could be a good actor if presented the proper role.
Mm.
You're not funny. Stop.
Not painfully unfunny.
But has he ever been funny?
He was very. Actually, you know what? I left a lot of the scenes in Pirates of the Caribbean. But great director.
Holy
great movie.
Shit! You're absolutely right. He's fucking great. He nailed it.
Yeah.
That was a great character.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. Every time he does anything, Hunter S. Thompson, he ruined Fear and Loathing for me. I didn't even see Rum Punch or the Punch Diaries.
Rum Diaries.
Rum Punch.
The Rum Punch Diaries.
That was the original name of
Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown. Yeah. What a great title that would have been.
Yeah. It would have been better, right?
Rum Punch. Anyways,
back to Johnny Depp.
He brutalizes it. Like what he did to this movie
is
as bad as what Richard Parks does to Justin Long.
Oh, okay.
It was almost like
wow,
like a little torture within a torture.
It was. It was a little bit. It's like he's doing what he did. Michael Parks, what he did to him, he's doing the audience.
True.
He as the inspector claims this has happened 23 times, yet the local cop knows nothing about it. It's like this has happened 23 times before. I'm like, well, never heard of it before.
I don't think that without Human Centipede, this movie exists. I think it was born out of that. I think it gave Kevin Smith the balls to actually make something so absurd. One of my favorite things about the movie was, you know, it ends, and right before the credits start to roll, it gives you where the birthplace was of the movie, which was from a podcast, from one of their podcasts.
I did not hear that. Did you? Logan, have you heard this episode?
I had listened to it immediately on my way home. Yeah.
Okay.
And it was super fun.
Turn your mic off.
Listening to these two stoners, to Kevin Smith and his sidekick, whoever that is.
Scott Mosher, I think.
I don't know. He talks very little. He speaks very little.
Right.
You know, Kevin Smith just steamrolls him.
Sure.
But hearing them, actually, because they read it, and it was Gumtree? What's it called? I think it's Gumtree.
I have no idea.
It's like Craigslist, but in Europe.
Oh, yeah, okay, yes.
And they actually came across.
No, that's our, never mind.
Gumdrop, maybe?
No, whatever.
Doesn't matter, because we don't live in England.
Doesn't matter.
And all the Brits that are
yelling at their
device right now. But, like, they found a posting on there, and it turned out that the post was actually a hoax. But that's where the whole idea was born from. And these two stoners giggle and slobber their way for 45 minutes through an entire podcast talking about it. And it was actually really kind of interesting and fun and neat. Because Kevin Smith, you know, love him or hate him or not, you know, being different.
Mm.
He's a super smart guy.
Yeah.
Huge stoner and indulgent. You know, he's a modern day Buddha. But he's
brilliant and witty.
He's capable of, you know, pulling something out of the gutter, making something out of it. And it was really fun to hear him kind of get really excited.
If they'd taken that podcast and set it to animation, that would have been 100 times better.
No.
Really?
No.
I thought it was funny listening to the two stoners babble their way through the story.
Oh, instead of Tusk, though?
Yeah.
No.
Really?
It,
do you think?
Were you laughing at the very end?
No.
Yeah, it was funny.
I was. Oh,
see?
No.
Yeah, I think it was funny.
Like the part where they're
where they
throwing
visit,
the...
Where they, yeah, stop it. But it's funny. His face was funny.
My question... Well, okay, it was kind of funny. My question was, why can't he talk?
It's painful to the mouth to do things like that. When you have bones from your legs and your mouth, it's tough to talk. For those of you who may not know much about Tusk, and you know what? Luckily, it was such a bomb. I don't think a lot of people do know about it. It's like
I
a human
like
centipede.
I feel
everyone
like a
knows.
A strange percentage of this audience, our audience, has probably seen it.
Yeah.
Just because it appeals to film-ish types. I can only, you know what? I'm picturing my mom right now listening, going, "What's Tusk?"
Yeah.
Oh, Tusk. Mom, don't watch it.
It was enjoyable to me. I sat in the theater. Just I didn't know what to expect, and I really enjoyed myself.
I can see this going either way. Logan, thumbs up or thumbs down on Tusk?
I haven't seen it.
Oh!
That's the only way I saw it.
I did not see it going that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't see things anymore.
Come on, Babadook.
He watches...
Pay you enough to get
I'm a TV guy now.
He watches like Rafifi.
Wow.
He's in film. He's still in film. He's still... I have to watch old films, like old French films.
Not for a while.
Okay.
But I had to for a moment there, and it
check
was
out
kind
Tusk.
Of torture.
Oh, your final film. Jesus Christ, this is the longest flick fashions ever.
Oh, we always do this. All right, my final film, like I stated earlier, might be the most terrifying movie I've seen in the last year. Not just this year alone. It's early February, but year. It's up for an Academy Award, Best Actress. I'm talking about Still Alice.
Oh, I've been putting off seeing this one. This is like
Still
my last big Oscar movie.
Alice. No, it's not. You have a few others. You have not seen 2 days, one night.
That's true. I have not.
Written and directed by a couple people. I don't
love
like
it.
These director teams. I'm tired of it.
There's so many. Didn't I just name one? Yeah, the guys who did Big Hero 6.
Well, that's always the case with animation. You
right.
always have an animation
point.
Director. This is starring Julianne Moore, and it's a story based on a book. Actually, three directors for this.
No.
Someone
I never heard of such a thing, except for Cloud Atlas. So I have.
Yeah. No, it's two. Story about early set Alzheimer's and based on a novel by... A person whose name I don't have in front of me. Not important. This
no,
movie,
not important at all.
The direction isn't that important in
film
it.
Film vault, novel vault.
This is Julianne Moore. No other, very few other actresses.
It's a real showcase for her, right?
Pulled off what she pulls off in this. Alec Baldwin is her husband, who's always fun. I enjoy his stylings quite a bit. Kristen Stewart.
Okay.
I might be wrong here, but I think that she shut the fuck up, shut some of her critics up. I thought she was great in this.
Okay.
I really enjoyed her in this.
I
bought her.
I've been putting off seeing this.
I've not heard many people talk about this movie. It's a tough subject matter. And I say it's scary because my dad, as you know, in deep
yes.
throes of Alzheimer's. And this movie.
Is he diagnosed? I mean, is that what he has?
No, he's not diagnosed.
Oh, but he has some sort of dementia though, right?
Oh, deep. Yeah, yeah. Actually, talked about it a little bit on the After Zest. I don't want to like. Yeah, but he wandered into my neighbor's house the other day. Or his neighbor's house.
Oh,
I don't
no.
live there, but yeah, while she was showering.
Oh, no.
Police were involved.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it sucks.
Oh.
But.
Then there's a restraining order situation? They know he has issues, right?
Yeah. The bitch called the cops instead of going to my neighbor, to my mom, who's her neighbor.
Well, that's awfully helpful. Well, does she. Well,
bitch. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
No,
not talking
helpful.
About that. This. Who else is it? Kate Bosworth's in
right.
it. I don't know. She didn't do much for me. Anyways. It goes down the list of all the things that you see in Alzheimer's. It was really frightening to me because it was so realistic in its depiction. They hit on all the hallmarks of what I've seen with my dad, with just, you know, and she finds out early on, and then it's her trying to figure out how she's going to deal with it.
Right.
It was actually really well written. The construct of it takes you down different paths. I found myself watching my. Watch in the time I wanted it to end. It was really difficult for me to watch.
Is it long?
Because she was so good. It's not. It's like an hour and 35, I think. She's really
it's
good.
Heavy though.
It's very.
Is there
heavy.
A laugh in the movie?
Yeah. Alec Baldwin says a couple things. It's 101 minutes. So an hour 41 minutes. But and, so I'm terrified for myself. I'm terrified for her. I'm terrified for my siblings because they're talking about, you know, I honestly have to kind of put my head in the sand with the whole Alzheimer's thing. And, you know, they're talking about how it's genetic and I've known that for a while. And
is that true?
Her style, hers is much different than I think my dad's. It was early set,
right.
which is a very specific.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know
I've
a lot about
putting
this.
Off the research. The less I know, the better. For
sure.
But like they were talking about water and how like water really helps with memory. And before the movie, this is how crazy I am and how like, you know, I get in my own head. So they're talking about in the movie, like how water is very important to drink and fire in the synapses and whatnot.
Synapse.
Before the movie starts, I'm in the halls of the theater, right? And the concession stand, giant line, one person working it. As is always the case.
Sure. Understaffed.
And all I want is water. I don't want to get a Coke. I'm not a popcorn guy. I just want a cup of water. That's all I want. They don't let you, God forbid, you bring a fucking water in.
Right.
I just want a cup of water. So I asked some guy who's wandering about with one of the little brooms and little sweepy things. And I say, hey, where are the cups for water? He's like, oh, they're behind the counter right there. And I'm like, well, can I have one? You have to wait in line. Like, you couldn't walk your fucking ass. So I'm thinking of that guy. This is before I find out about, you know.
And he's to blame for your dementia.
Before they're talking. Yeah, I'm thinking, that guy, that motherfucker, I'm going to forget shit. But I was so affected by this movie, I guess.
I'm going to sip of water right now so I can remember more shit.
That I did not even take any notes on it. I didn't.
Wow, you challenge yourself.
And it's not like it's not like a fantastically directed movie. And it actually pisses me off because I did well up a few times. There's two of them. Up a few times, but
there's two of them.
There's music both times, and I fucking hate when they try and, you know, string
emotional
heartstring you. I hate it. I hate it. And I heard it, and I made note of it, and it still was getting me. But I just have a hard time with anyone losing who they are, losing their mind, and you know, so much of
I
what
understand.
I'm a guy who doesn't want to. I love films, but I don't want to own any because I like to have them just in my head,
sure,
or able to click, you know, and get them on the old internet.
Watch
there.
A scene there.
I don't like owning them. I like to think they're in my head, and like watching this, just knowing that, you know. Inevitably, ultimately, they're all going to fly out of my head.
Does it bother you outside the movie? Does it bother you that it bothers me? Does it bother you like it bothers me? Where we have so many smart people in this world working on so many
penises
things.
And hair?
It's just so many things. And some things are worthwhile, some things aren't, in my opinion. But if we literally took it's a fantasy, of course. If we took all the smart people and said, you're all working on dementia for the next 12 months, we'd knock it out of the park. We'd have a cure. You know, or I'm exaggerating, but the point is, focus our energy, man. Knock things down, big to small.
I'm a guy who also hates like the whole like gonna breathe awareness, man. You know, I'm gonna have all the football players wearing pink. Yeah, to the point where like, okay, everyone's aware now. Let's move on.
Oh, I agree. It becomes a piling on, grandstanding thing.
With this, though, I feel like more people do need to like maybe be aware of Alzheimer's.
I agree.
It never really occurred to me until I was watching this, and like she actually even talks about that. She was talking in the film about how she wished she had cancer because they have a bunch of people striving behind them, and they you know
support,
that's a known thing.
And support
and people
community.
Do walks and stuff. Alzheimer's, it's just like, oh, that's sad. You get to forget stuff
because
you know?
You're old, and if you're generally, and if you're old, we can warehouse you. We can put you in a home or something.
It was. And like you know, like I said, this could have been made for ABC or something. Mm. But she's phenomenal.
Good.
The movie, as far as movie making goes, it's solid. It's serviceable. But she's fantastic, and the subject matter, the way that it's touched upon, is very realistic. From someone who's kind of had to experience more than I'm. And you know what? While watching it, I'm thinking. People say not to smoke. Fuck that. She smokes. She's not dealing with this shit. She's gone.
Well, what do you mean? I understand what you're talking about. Okay. What do you mean?
Well, she was fairly young. She got it when she was like 51.
Okay.
It's Alzheimer's.
Right.
But, you know, my dad, if my dad smoked, he's like 84 right now. Right. He wouldn't be going into my neighbor's bathroom.
It would have knocked
him
out.
He'd be done.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Smoke him up, Johnny.
So smoke him up and hopefully something else gets you before the Alzheimer's.
My mic doesn't work anymore. Yeah.
Love
it. So I started smoking doubles.
Coming up next. Thanks for leaving us on that depressing note.
Sorry, still Alice, though. It's a, you know, once again, with the with what the empathy machine thing. I mean, this is a prime example of that. Yeah. What old Jawless Wonder said.
And this is not something that's depicted too much on screen, right? I can't think of that many.
No, you know what? It actually
main characters, of course.
Like Awakenings is something fairly similar to it, but it's a completely different disease
totally
they're
different.
Talking about. So you know, it is. This is I think the first time where they really do take a long, hard look at Alzheimer's disease. Right. In this case, early set Alzheimer's disease.
Coming up next, top five non-car chase scenes. Finally,
this will be fun.
Anderson, Remember back-to-back World War champs, America?
How could I forget that?
The t-shirts that were such a big rage apparently a year or so ago. Someone bought a back-to-back World War champs infant one-piece bodysuit for a one-year-old. So they're going to put their kid in that.
Immediately just boasting about America.
Isn't that great? Because I already got pride. Time to read the interesting and notable purchases on the old Amazon.com. Click through over there on AndersonandBrian.com. So, speaking of t-shirts, someone got a Macho Man Randy Savage Wildlife t-shirt. Also a t-shirt from The Incredibles.
What is that?
The Incredibles, the movie.
Yeah, no, but what's the shirt?
Just as The Incredibles logo.
Okay.
What is this here? Oh, fire extinguishers. We got a 2-pack of fire extinguishers. Oh, no. Very smart. I got to have those in the house. Got to have those in the house.
As a weapon.
Or war as a weapon, non-traditionally. Someone got a toolbox for the back of the truck, one of those ones that lays over the back of your tailgate. Someone got a Microsoft Surface Pro 3 and the 128 gig. Nice. And also someone got a Pro 3 type cover, so thank you for getting that. Mm-hmm. What is this here? Passion Lubes, so natural water-based lubricant. What? 16 ounces. It's a pint of lubricant.
Good math, Brad.
It's not really so much math.
It's a pound.
Pint is. It's 16 fluid ounces. That's right.
Yeah, but 16 ounces is a pound.
Yeah, but 16 fluid ounces is a pint.
Yeah, well, they're both. Okay, doesn't matter.
So I didn't know you had that. I know people could have this thing.
A pound of lube for pounding.
That's right. Hey, good call. Mm-hmm. I like Anderson's version of it. Someone got a home vasectomy testing kit. So what you do is you do your thing onto the kit, and it tells you if it actually worked. That's right. Which is an odd thing you would test at home, but somebody got a, what is this here? Oh, a
sort of
they call it a snow thrower. I guess snow blower must be a proprietary thing, but got to get rid of that snow. Snowing everywhere, except here. Someone got a black diamond solitaire pendant, 14-karat white gold. Thank you for getting that. Valentine's Day, I assume. I don't know what this is, but it was expensive. A power supply, 3,000-watt power supply. It was under Scientific and Industrial. Thanks for performing your experiments with us. 18-piece knife set and an 18-piece cookware set. So have fun cooking. What is this here? Oh, Anderson, someone got the soundtrack to Frank.
Ooh. Frank, you know what? Soundtrack. I almost clicked on that. I need it.
Frank soundtrack.
Speaking of which, a lot of people are giving me shit about Tusk, you know, but the same amount of people are weighing in now about Frank since it's actually, you know, we'll talk about this in the...
Okay, we'll come back to that. Someone got a Porter Cable drill kit. What is this here? An ottoman with a storage. Ottoman with a storage is the best. You can push it away in there, take kids' toys. Train Spotting movie poster. Someone got TurboTax Deluxe and Block Financial H&R Block Tax software. So spread it around, get whatever tax software you like. Got to get in time for taxes. Finally, someone bought a bunch of, remember Caterpillar, the Caterpillar butterfly set last week? I didn't know you could buy live animals on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Somebody got 2,000 live mealworms for like their reptiles and birds and chickens and fish and stuff. Actual 2,000 live worms. I didn't know you can get those. But enjoy.
You can get ladybugs?
I guess so. Movie time.
Wait, I was thinking, what? What was it? I just saw it recently. Oh, no. Also,
ants? Butterflies?
Somebody gave somebody a butterfly, like a cocoon.
Yeah.
And then,
that was on Auschwitz Amazon thing.
And then it hatched, and like a little note was inside of it explaining what
where
their
the butterfly
mission
went?
Was.
What?
Yes, what was that? I just saw it. What the H?
Like in a movie?
And he's like, hand to God. That's how I found out.
Okay, we'll come back
what
to that.
What was that?
Logan, please Google.
I have early onset. I don't like this.
Drink some water, stat.
All right, hold on. What was that?
Go.
Here we go. Here the movies are. Click for this. The last time I say 28 days later, 28 weeks later, Finding Vivian Mayer, How to Train Your Dragon, fantastic film. John Wick, a little overrated, but not bad. The Drop with Tom Hardy. I wish he could... Dazed and Confused, Glorious Bastards, John Candy Comedy Favorites Collection, Uncle Buck, The Great Outdoors, and Going Berserk, Lego Movie, The Lego Movie, Looper, Leon the Professional, Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, the one that Tina Turner fucked up, Nightcrawler Platoon, The Equalizer, and The Hunt. God damn, I love that Hunt.
The Hunt's a good movie.
The Hunt.
Thanks for clicking through, you guys. Thanks for clicking through, you guys, on our banner. And now back to the show. Hey, you guys. It's Sloth from The Goonies. And you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com. Well, she was so in love. Yeah. Thanks, all of our featured artists this week. They are Fist Fight in the Parking Lot, See Ya Home Wolf, FM Pilots, Annie Corbett, The Subway Surfers, and Sean Russell. Thanks, you guys. If you want to check them out, AndersonandBrian.com is where you go. Thanks also to Joe Cherry. He provided the fan art this week and the last fan art we had 2 weeks ago. We didn't know who it was, so thanks, Joe, for sending in some fine, fine art based on sort of what happened last week. Anderson, what happened?
What happened last week? Snap, crackle,
what happened with your search?
Yeah, Brian, don't worry about it. During the Amazon read just now, I lost my brain. I can't remember something that I just saw, and it's killing me. And I haven't watched any TV, nothing but movies, so it must be in a film that I saw. But I've not flicked past all the movies that I've seen recently. I'm getting ready. I'm gearing up for the our vaulties. I'm going to have some good shit there.
I'm excited for next week for Oscar Locks.
Oscar Locks is going to be be pretty solid as well. Bye-bye. But
top
in the meantime,
chase scenes, non-involving cars.
Non-car chase scenes. I didn't go too far back in the annals of film history. Okay. There's some good stuff from way back when, but I kept it pretty current.
Mine are mostly current.
Despite the fact that I didn't write down the years. But let's get through this because we've prattled on quite a bit.
A lot of chase scenes end up just sort of becoming fight scenes. You know what I mean?
Because a lot of time ends. By the time they catch the person.
Yeah. So I had to try and differentiate between a fight scene and a chase scene. I tried for myself.
Action movies are tough because like you know how it's going to turn out. Like that was a problem. One of the many problems with Jupiter Ascending was like I don't care about all this stuff flying about because I know who's going to live, who's going
to
die.
No danger.
I don't even care about them. I don't give a fuck.
On top of that,
yeah.
I think only one of mine can be really classified as an action movie. One and a half.
Let's do it. Start off, buddy.
I'll start off.
You got any clips?
I got no clips.
I got a clip.
Chase scenes are hard to do with clips. I'll be interested to see what happens.
Mine is worthy of clip.
These are pretty visual.
Mine is very worthy of a clip.
I'm going to start off with something I really, strangely, I love doing this. Do you like, I know you don't, but I like putting bad movies on my list sometimes because I have no use for bad movies. Unless we do a top five worst something, I'm like, a bad movie, I get nothing out of it. I get nothing having seen it. However,
you don't have to apologize,
if I can put it on a list, then I finally have a use for a bad movie, and I finally have a use for Rock and Rolla.
What? Fuck you. Not a bad movie.
How dare you? Not a good movie.
It's a fine film. It's a fine film.
It's fine.
Tommy Kebbell rules.
Not a good movie.
As Rock and Rolla. He's so cool. He's such a cool guy.
Literally remember nothing from this movie except the chase scene.
What? There's some amazing torture scenes.
There might be. I don't remember.
The main bad guy was awful. Awesome.
Could be. I don't remember who it was. Don't know. However, the chase scene, Anderson, do you remember the chase scene?
Yeah.
The chase scene's fucking great because it's one thing that I wish happened in more movies, which is there's a chase scene that sort of starts off hot and heavy after like a car chase develops into a foot chase, and the foot chase part of it is great because more movies should do where these guys are not athletes, these guys are not in super good shape, they're hoods, they're villains, they're hoodlums, they're no good, they're the thugs, they're not bred for a race, and so what's his name, Guy Ritchie, the director, Gerard Butler, Jerry Butler, he starts to outrun the bad guy, and it's a foot race, and it devolves into a very, very slow jog as they're sort of running out of breath. They're obviously smokers, they're drinkers, and they're having a very slow foot race
on the train tracks.
Mm-hmm. And Gerard Butler ends up getting away, quote unquote, because he's kind of just the last guy standing. The other guy just runs out of breath.
Right.
And he makes a very obscene gesture.
Which actually comes back to haunt him. A great punchline later.
It's good.
All right, punchline. Yeah.
All I remember is the chase scene.
It revisits.
All I remember.
All right.
I'm glad I could name it to a top five list because it's a very good scene and a not so good movie.
Number five for me, Brian. It's a movie we've all seen. And some might call it bad. It's almost a punchline of a movie itself. I'm talking about Point Break.
I'm starting big,
and then we're gonna get a little more defined as we go here. But Point Break has a fantastic foot race scene.
There's good movies, there's bad movies, and there's enjoyable movies. I would say this is enjoyable.
Unfortunately, this one's being remade.
Oh, that's right.
It's coming out later this year. I do not look forward to my childhood being furtherly raped.
Okay.
Yeah, continuing to just to pillage my childhood.
Talked about Catherine Bigelow. The original, sorry.
Yes, Catherine Bigelow directed this one. And the chase scene, I watched this for the purposes of this here program.
Scene.
It's a great chase scene. And it's
iconic.
Almost surreal and just bizarre imagery with Keanu Reeves, to begin with, chasing this man through the streets of L.A. And ultimately the L.A. River. I think you're supposed to know at the time, right? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
it's Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze. Yeah. But he's wearing Ronnie Reagan's head.
That's right.
He's wearing a mask.
Presidential mask.
Because they would rob the banks wearing different presidents' masks, which has been used plenty since Point Break. But Point Break was the first place to do it. I need to see Point Break live, too, one of these days. They do it live.
Oh,
they have people act it out.
If you ever want to go, I know the guy.
Do you?
Yeah.
Catherwood was supposed to do it a couple weeks ago, but I was on the same night that Drew and Mike Carano were doing a show at the Improv, so we didn't want to step on that.
Gotcha.
So. Anyways, Point Break, right to the very end, it's you can see a young Catherine Bigelow kind of getting her, learning her trade.
Wings.
Yeah, it was a very well done.
She had made a couple movies beforehand, but this was, I think, her first hit, I think.
And it was before parkour was a thing. Nowadays, if there's a foot chase scene, it seems like parkour has to be the main element. Right. These are just two dudes who are in pretty good shape, evidently, because they ran for quite some time. But right to the very end, that final scene where he's up on the gate, looking back at him.
Yeah.
He could have shot him if he wanted to.
Absolutely.
He didn't.
And that's the first sign that he was getting seduced by the lifestyle.
A damaged, maimed Keanu in the L.A. River, limping, and he could no longer chase after him because he broke his little foot.
Is that what happened?
He twisted his ankle or something, but it was good.
It was and I expect this to be very high in the listener list.
It's good. It's a solid number five. I wasn't sure. A lot of these, I watched probably 15 chase scenes in doing this research. Rock and Rolla, I watched that.
No.
Good
scene.
Did not make the list. Point Break.
Number four for me.
1991.
Boy, we talk about this movie too much, so let's be quick about it. But man, oh man, the chase scene early on in No Country for Old Men. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
The motel.
No, the chase with where he's running away from he being Josh Brolin very early in the film. The thing that sets the plot into motion, he finds the money. Remember the money at the shootout scene? He finds the money.
I saw this one time in the theater.
Wow.
Yeah. You had to pick a side, man. You had to pick a side, and I picked No Country. I watched No Country for Old Men. I mean, no.
What are you talking about?
I watched There Will Be Blood. I watched that 15 times.
Oh, no.
No Country once.
Listen, I love There Will Be Blood. This is a better movie.
What? What?
Yeah.
What?
Absolutely. There's no doubt. Come back here. I'll wait. Tantrum is not over yet. Careful, you're going to spill something.
How many times have you seen There Will Be Blood?
I think like two.
Why would you see it twice?
It's a good movie. Like I said, it's a great movie.
Have you seen No Country?
Oh, probably four or five.
Continue with your chase, please.
What's that?
Continue with your chase scene.
Early in the film, Josh Brolin finds some money. That sets the plot into motion. Before he can make a getaway with the money, the owners or the people who are staking claim to the money show up in a truck, and they chase him across the desert. And that's the chase I'm talking about. The chase is when they can no longer drive their truck. They unleash a dog, a scary fucking pit bull, angry fucking vicious dog, and that dog tears after him. Josh Brolin makes it to the river. He starts to swim, thinking he's getting away. Dog can swim. Dog can swim, Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
The dog can swim.
Dog can hunt.
The dog can swim, and that dog's catching him. That dog's catching up. Josh Brolin is floating down the fucking river. That dog's floating faster.
Dog paddling.
Dog paddling, dog floating. The dog's closing the gap.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Brolin reaches the other side of the river. He has a gun, but the gun's wet.
Mm-hmm.
He gets out, takes the gun apart, starts to dry it off, blow dry. He's blowing the gun dry.
I remember this. This is great.
The fucking dog's
tense.
Coming out of the river. Dog's coming out. The dog's getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
Dog's fucking closing the gap.
Mm-hmm.
Dog gets out of the river.
Right.
Dog is fucking on all fours.
On all fours.
Full steam ahead. Josh Brolin closes the gun, and he ends the chase. God, what a great scene. That scene fucking set the tone for the movie. It's like a fucking something's coming. Something's coming, and it can't be stopped.
Mm-hmm. You know what's coming?
What's that?
An abrupt end.
That foreshadowed abrupt endings to many threads in the film. Abrupt endings. God, what a great fucking scene.
2002. A film named Narc.
Do you think that there will be blood is much better than No Country for Old Men? You've only seen it once.
They're both very different movies, and the fact
they're
that
not
they're
very
both
different movies.
They're very, very different movies. But the fact that they're both shot in the same area of Texas and both came out the same year, and where I believe they're both for Best Picture, they're kind of connected.
Yeah, intertwined.
Intertwined. Whereas they shouldn't be. They're two very separate movies.
True.
But yes, for me, There Will Be Blood is by far and away. But just for me, like if I love that movie so much. It's one
it's
of my.
It's a great movie. I really do love it too.
It's probably top 25 for me all the time. I love it. It's quotable. That's I have a shirt that says I drink
No Country.
Your milkshake.
Top 25 for me.
But No Country. Yeah, it's a very good movie. I don't know. I don't make me watch it again, please. Settle down.
Okay.
All right.
That might happen someday.
Too much to see.
Logan, add it to my list, please.
Too much to see. Narc, 2002.
I've never seen Narc.
Joe Carnahan made this film.
Sir Robert Patrick.
Ray Liotta. Ray Jason Liotta. Patrick.
Jason Patrick, thank you.
Chi McBride.
That's what I meant to say, actually.
Chi McBride. Chi McBride? Chi McBride.
I think it's Chi.
Joe Carnahan went on to make Smokin' Aces, which you made.
Yeah.
Watch.
That's a fun movie.
Mm-hmm. This has a chase scene on foot once again.
Huh.
We'll get a little more clever with the actual what kind of chase scene later, but this one's just on foot.
Okay.
And it could have been because they didn't have the budget to actually get a Steadicam and a Steadicam operator, but no, I think Joe Carnahan made a judgment call and decided, hey, you know what? Having somebody run with the camera on their shoulder while this guy is chasing this other guy, way better. Way better. It's all over the place. But you never really...
Sounds like an episode of Cops.
It's disorienting to the... Yeah, kind of like Cops. But you feel it. It's... Random stabbings are occurring. Children and pregnant lady on the streets of Detroit, Brian.
Mm.
And there's fences being jumped and whatnot. And it's just raw. It feels like Cops. It does feel like if they were to insert this in an actual documentary, you wouldn't be like taken aback.
Sure.
Like, hey, what's going on? Why is there all of a sudden a cinematic film before me? No, you'd be like, hey, part of this documentary I'm watching. It works. It's great. Jason Patrick, Jason's perp.
Is it a good movie?
Yeah, it's good. It's very raw. It's very... yeah.
Unrefined? Rough around the edges?
It's unrefined.
Unpolished?
Very, yeah. It's nothing like Smokin' Aces.
That's interesting. He makes such different kind of movies. I mean, good for him.
Not nearly enough comedy in this movie for me to like really love, but Narc's a good film.
Okay. Number three for me. My oldest choice. I don't know if this might be my most hipster choice, but you know what? Fuck it. I love Vertigo. 1958, Vertigo, Alfred Hitchcock, Jimmy Stewart, and Kim Novak. The film opens... Anderson. Remember how film opens? Jimmy Stewart.
With a chase.
Jimmy Stewart and another police officer. They're pursuing a perp, a suspect, across the rooftops of San Francisco. They have a rooftop chase before. God, I should have looked up if this was the first rooftop chase in film history. I don't know. It might have been, might not have been, but it's iconic. And Jimmy Stewart's trailing the chase. He's obviously not, he's not a foot cop, like, he's not a beat cop like
foot
the.
Cop.
Well, you know what I mean. He's
like
a detective.
He doesn't walk the beat.
Yeah. He's not a beat cop. He tries to make a leap, and he comes up short. He ends up dangling for his life off of like a drainage pipe or whatever.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's the first time in the film that we see the vertigo effect. You know what I mean? That famous sort of like zoom out and pan in or whatever it is.
The camera kind
what
of
do you
duchies.
Call it? Dolly out, pan, or zoom in.
They call it the Hitchcock, actually.
Yeah, the vertigo effect is what I saw it called. But yeah, either way, they're paying homage to this film, aka the dolly zoom. There you go, you dolly out and zoom.
It was one of those in one of my chase scenes that I'm talking about a little bit later. Yeah,
one of the modern chase scenes.
There's also rooftop a little bit later, Brad.
So
you're
the cop,
touching on all sorts of
the
things
cop lets the
later.
Suspect go. He doubles back to help Jimmy Stewart. He slips. He falls to his death, and thus the film begins. And you have Jimmy Stewart's fear of heights.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great scene. It's iconic effect, and yet establishes a vertigo, hence the title. Vertigo. Great chase scene.
Number three for Brian.
Yeah.
Do you have one more? Hipster Vertigo. No, do I have one more? I got three more, Brian.
One
now
more,
we're getting
one
on the
more,
good
one
shit.
One more for this segment.
We're getting in the good shit now. I got a movie. This.
It's even worse.
Are you hearing
yeah,
that?
I heard that. Yeah.
You're hearing it, right?
That.
It's
I
not me.
It.
Okay. I'm going to stop touching things.
I heard that.
A man named.
Logan, is that you?
A man named Morton Tilden.
Wait, I know this. What do I know this from?
He's a director. He has a film called The Imitation Game.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Boom.
Theaters this year. I'm talking about a film from 2011, also directed by Morton Tilden.
Waiting a long time for this.
Film called Headhunters. Now, if you get one thing out of this long, prattling episode that we are here doing, it is that Headhunters...
It's a fine film.
...is phenomenal. It's streaming on Fuckflix. You may all partake and enjoy. Probably the best thing you get out of this entire episode. Is like, you know what?
Yeah. This is not a fine film like Rock and Roll. This is actually a fine film.
It's time to watch Headhunters.
Headhunters
you
is great.
You will not be disappointed.
Yeah.
Norwegian film.
You got to read it.
This chase scene that I'm referring to in the movie involves a tractor with a bit of a forklift like pitch on the top of it.
Gosh,
in the front of it.
I don't remember the scene actually.
And it
when does it occur in the movie?
Takes place after a vicious fight with a kind of pit bull type dog.
Okay.
Without giving too much away, pit bull doesn't make it. Ends up on the front of the tractor.
Oh.
The man.
Is he impaled?
Takes away.
Yeah.
Tears away on tractor.
That's right.
Down the street. Down the dark, cold street with dog. Dangling. This is. I'm a dog lover. But this was funny. And scary.
It was absurd. Yes.
It was absurd. And there's a lot of great shots of that dog. Very realistic looking dog. Dangling. Almost in Christ-like fashion. Off the front of his tractor.
The dog is crucified.
And yes, there might maybe a car in tow. Like kind of chasing towards him, but he is the one being chased. And if you watch the movie or if you're familiar with it, you'll understand why it actually counts as just a chasing without a car.
Aside from a possible podcast hosted about dogs, do you think we're the two most dog loving hosts on any podcast?
I don't listen to a ton of podcasts and take stock on their love of dogs.
I'm gonna guess yes.
We take pictures, you want another one?
We take pictures of another dog.
Yeah.
I bring it up to Christy once in a while.
You want a purebred Pomeranian?
No.
I know one. I got one.
Good.
All right.
I want a big dog. I want a husky.
All right.
German Shepherd.
You should get a big house if you got to have one of those. All right, Headhunters.
House is pretty big.
Logs, you seen the Headhunters over there?
Yep.
You
based
enjoy
on
the
your recommendation.
Oh, is he fading you out already?
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, really good. Really good movie.
Do you remember that scene?
I do.
Yeah.
You can't forget that.
This is like Norwegian's like Rocky, Jaws, Godfather.
It's like their Inception. Like it's a big action movie.
Big giant movie. Like everyone.
Is this an action? This is like a thriller.
It's thriller action. It's. I think this actually crime thriller is what IMDb has it as.
Thriller.
This is what got us going to do the top five unravelings. This is one of the greatest unraveling.
It is fantastic.
Because he's button up art dealer art aficionado slash thief slick. He's got all shit together. He knows all the answers. Oh, does this man
not
unravel?
By the end.
He's driving down the street with a crucified
the
dog.
Steward dog. Coming up next, conclusion.
Chase scenes.
I don't know how I forget that you look in me close with your telescope.
Anderson,
yeah.
I legitimately get excited about looking ahead at Blue Apron's meals for next week. You want to hear what they got on tap?
I do.
All right. In third place. But here's how you know it's going to be a good week. This is the third best dish they have.
You're ranking them. You're ranking the dishes. Okay.
Pot pie style chicken. Like chicken pot pie, but it's probably like a different kind of pot pie. I love chicken pot pie with all the vegetables inside and a little crust on top. Oh, it's the best. Second place. Shrimp po' boy.
Ooh.
Oh, delicious shrimp sandwich.
With the big bun. The big bun. Comes with a bun.
It's got, yeah. Apple salad. Number one. I'm excited about Chinese five-style beef stir fry with noodles.
Five-style?
Yeah. Five-spice. Chinese five-spice beef stir fry with noodles.
Still intrigued. Less intrigued than the five-style.
Stir fry. So many styles. Time to get up on Blue Apron, everybody. It's the real deal. We talk about it every week. They offer wonderful meals for $9.99 each. If you want to check out two meals free, get them free and try it out for yourself, go to blueapron.com/TFV. That's blueapron.com/TFV.
Hey, I'm two-time survivor Rob Cesternino and host of Rob Has a Podcast right here on Podcast One. I'm breaking down what just happened on reality TV competitions like Survivor, Big Brother, The Amazing Race, and more. We're talking with all your favorite players and interviewing the new contestants after they get eliminated about just how badly they screwed everything up. So come on over and talk about reality TV with me on Rob Has a Podcast in the TV and film section here on Podcast One anytime, or at least until they vote me out.
Yep. Welcome back. Thanks again for the songs, fellas and ladies. Feature artists are at AndersonBryan.com. Go to hear them. Two more chase scenes each, Anderson.
Yeah.
I want to hear yours in a second. First, another movie that I get a lot of, not a lot, I've only put it on one list, but I get mileage out of despite it not being a good movie. There's a couple good things in the movie Fallen from 1998, the Denzel Washington film directed by Gregory Hobbit. Excuse me, Hoblet. There's an L in there. Fix that.
Studio's falling apart.
This was on my my number one bad movies. The great ending. It's got a great ending. It also has a great chase scene. Okay, what do you know about Fallen? You know anything about this movie?
I remember coming out. I remember it having a very lackluster campaign, and I remember making the smart decision of missing.
Good. You missed almost nothing. What you did miss.
This is when Denzel seemed to be in like every other like movie
studio-ish.
About a studio detective movie about hunting serial
some sort
killers.
Of killer or something. Yeah. Okay. Well, this movie's about he is chasing the demon Azazel. Is it Azazel? I'm gonna say Azazel. If I fuck up,
the bone collector.
Yeah. So the demon Azazel, the from hell, the demon what do you call it? Not infecting, but
you can do it, buddy.
Possessing. He's possessing people and forcing them to commit crimes, and they're serial killers and whatnot. And the demon has a way of jumping from body to body simply by touch. So if I'm possessed by Azazel, but I want to become you, I just touch you, and all of a sudden I'm back to me, and you're Azazel now. It's like a game of tag. Azazel is always in the body that's touched last. At one point, Azazel is chasing a character. He's chasing a female character through the streets of Philadelphia, and it's a fucking great scene because the woman's being chased not by a person. She's being chased by the demon who's constantly touching up next to the next person. The demon's chasing her by touching people one after the other.
Oh, fuck.
It's a fucking great scene. It's not a good movie, but it's a great scene. He's just tapping, and that's how he chases
down the
street.
You just tapped into my brain. I just thought of one that's great. It's not on my list.
Aww. However, does that not sound like a great scene, though?
That sounds very good. It sounds very interesting.
It's even better that it's in a bad movie and I can use... I don't have to burn a good movie, as it were, on a list. I don't have to go to another touchdown that I go to over and over again or go to an obvious one. I can use Fallen from 1998. The scene where the demon chases her via other people on the street, touching each other.
Gregory Hoblet directed.
God, what a great scene.
Also did Frequency. Fuck that movie. Primal Fear. Fuck yes to that movie. No.
Hmm. Yeah, is it an up and down career?
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Number two for me.
But fucking that scene was so good.
This one, I talked a little bit about parkour earlier. Hmm. 2004. By now, parkour is kind of the thing. Those in the know, especially those stunt dudes in the know, they're like, hey, you know what? Chase scenes are cool with cars. Foot chase scenes could be even cooler, especially if you sprinkle in some parkour. What is parkour, you ask? Oh, well, that's like getting from point A to point B despite the obstacles in your way at the fastest,
in fact,
most
using
direct.
Them. Using the
using
obstacles.
Them. Off the walls, off a lot of rooftop stuff. I'm talking about a little movie called District B-13. Now,
what is District B-13?
I first talked about this movie 2010. I actually did a little research, looked into like when I flick-fested back in 2010 on this here program.
Wow.
And it is the tagline, the plot, I'm all over the map.
It's really are.
District B-13 on IMDb, set in the ghettos of Paris in 2010. So it was a movie set in the not-too-distant future, Brian, because this is 2004. An undercover cop and an ex-thug try to infiltrate a gang in order to defuse a neutron bomb. Oh. Ghettos of Paris. And this scene in its entirety is available on YouTube. You can just type in District B-13 and chase scene. It also, the entire movie itself is available on the old Fuck Flicks Instant, which is another fantastic thing. This has got
shades. Is the whole movie good?
It's good and bad. It's interesting. Mm. It feels like a video game in the sense that like going up to the boss, every single fight scene is a little bit harder, tougher to get to. Very innovative. Shades of Raid Redemption, if you're a fan of Raid Redemption.
I like that movie.
I think a lot of you have probably seen this movie. It seems like the kind of movie that our listeners would... I know a lot of listeners have told me to watch this movie over the last year and a half or so since I've been getting emails. But the stunts that are it's a lot's going on in this scene. This is a scene that probably took weeks, if not months, to choreograph.
Okay.
And a lot of rooftop stuff. It's just a fantastic... I can't do words justice. This is just a fantastic movie.
Okay.
How old year is this? 2004. Okay. 24. Scant 84 minutes, too. So if you like the action stylings over there, District B-13.
Okay. And it heavily involves parkour.
A lot of parkour.
Okay, as does my number one.
A lot of running. Oh, I know what your
you
number
know what
one
it is
going to be.
It's a bit
it's
of
a
an
racist
obvious choice.
Scene. Racist.
It is?
Absolutely.
Oh. He's trying to defend England.
Here's the deal. You're going to talk about a little James Bond over
there. That's right, Casino Royale, 2006.
Yeah.
Some great parkour in this scene, too.
Do you remember you made me watch this?
No, I don't remember that. Did you like it?
I remember this opening scene.
It's great.
But here's the problem. White man in Africa chasing black man in Africa.
He's in Madagascar.
They're running through many people, many crowds. No one questions or worries about the black man. They just assume they're making way and helping the white man catch black man.
If there's a white man chasing a black man, the black man probably did something wrong.
It's in Africa as well.
That's what they're thinking. This is a racist thing to think. It's a great scene. It involves some terrific parkour, and it actually ends up going up like through a construction site. They go up like the girders into the sky, and it ends like at the embassy. It's great, man. It's a great scene. I expect this to be very high on the listener list, but it's man, it's fantastic.
Is that all you have to say about that?
I feel like everyone's seen it. I feel like it's Daniel Craig and whoever the fuck else it was, directed by Martin Campbell. If I'm to give it any cultural significance, I will say that it had to be a great scene, and it was, because it had to reintroduce the world to Bond, because Bond had been away since the Pierce Brosnan days. It was a new Bond, so it had to be good. And frankly, okay, I'm gonna explain something about Bond to you. The problem with these movies eventually is the guy who plays Bond gets super old and super unbelievable as like a physical presence. Like, you didn't buy Roger Moore fighting it towards the end. You didn't buy Timothy Dalton. Well, a different story, but you
never
didn't buy Pierce Brosnan. You didn't buy him fighting towards
James.
The end because he's fucking 6 years old almost.
Sean Connery.
So Daniel Craig comes on the scene. It's early Sean Connery. You bought it. By the end, you're like, who the fuck is this old man? Right. Daniel Craig, you had to establish him as a physical presence. This is an action movie, and he's involved in a very physically taxing chase scene that involves some fighting also. And it successfully, in my opinion, as a fan of the series, established him as the physical presence.
Good choice. It is a very, it's similar to District B13.
It sounds like it is. I'm not super familiar with that one, but I'll check it out.
I thought you saw District B13.
I did not. I said District 9.
There's a great beheading.
Oh.
Great beheading using prison bars. It's actually really... I thought you saw this.
No.
District
I'm not even super familiar with the title.
All right, here we go. Number one.
Dying.
Clips. Clips to be had.
Oh, clips.
This is a mid-80s...
for a chase scene?
A mid-80s teen-based comedy that's kind of... Since it wasn't... drawn blanks. I have all...
John Hughes?
John Hughes. If it was a John Hughes film, I think this movie would be like kind of in the zeitgeist, but it's not. It's kind of, it was directed by a guy named Savage Steve Holland, who...
He had a nickname?
Yeah.
He's a professional wrestler?
He kicked a kid in the teeth.
Wow.
On the soccer field when he was a kid, and he was branded Savage.
Love it.
Ever since that. Savage Steve Holland is known for directing movies such as One Crazy Summer, Safety Patrol with Leslie Nielsen.
The Great Safety Patrol.
As well as Better Off Dead. Better Off Dead.
I've never seen this.
John Cusack. And more importantly, a little boy on a bike who's a paper boy. And John Cusack owes him a couple bucks. And there are chase scenes that, it's a gag that keep on going back to throughout the movie. And each chase scene gets a little bit more over
like
the
every
top.
Time he comes by, he
a little
chases
more
him down for the money.
Outlandish, and the paper boy shows up in the most ridiculous spots. Like, just you're on one plot. It's the same old story. Like, you know, he's after the hot girl, and there's another jock who's like better than him.
Right.
And you're all tied up in the story, and then all of a sudden, fucking paper boy. All it's a comedy through and through, but this is great comic relief within the comedy within the movie, and I searched it out. I found clips on YouTube, and I did a little montage of all of the paper boys wanting all the times throughout the film where he asks for his cash. Why don't you hit it there, Logs? Number 41.
Johnny.
4 weeks. 20 papers, that's $2 plus tip.
Gee, Johnny, I don't have a dime. Sorry.
$2. $2. Cash.
$2. $2. $2.
I love the music.
$2. $2.
I want my $2!
That wasn't even all. There was others that I didn't include.
There's more.
But he's on top of John Cusack's station wagon at one point. That old gag. He's
it's like a tiny collection agency.
He's in like a graveyard type setting with all his other paper boys, all kind of going after John Cusack. That's where you see the Hitchcock pan zoom,
all the dolly zoom
pan, zoom dolly, zoom push. There's the snow. Scene, the snow slope scene when John Cusack ultimately at one point is riding down the mountain with only one ski, and Booger's in this movie as well.
No, nice
Booger. But the kid is on the slopes with them with the bike, and he's got a couple skis like on the bike. He just shows up on the slope. I want my $2. The kid wants his $2.
Yeah, clearly
he wants his $2. And also, this is a personal choice for me because I don't know if you know this about me, Brian, but I had a paper route when I was a kid.
I did not.
I delivered the papers on my skateboard while I was on my. I did it rather than a bike. I did a skateboard.
You should do that again.
And I got to tell you, worst job ever. I don't know how they got away with slave labor as long as they did. And you know, nowadays kids don't have paper routes.
Sure, they don't have jobs.
Actually, adults have them, and they do them from their cars. Sure. You don't see kids on the paper bikes, paper boy bikes anymore. But I would do it. I'd get up every single morning before school at like 5 a.m., and I'd have like, you know, 60 papers delivered to my house. You had to fold them all. That took about an hour and a half. Yeah. Then you had to pack
them. I used to tell my brother had a paper route, and I used to tell him to fold the papers. It was
excruciating. You'd have to then ride to the location, which in my case was like 2 miles away from my house, and then do a loop and, you know, deliver. And then here's the worst part. That's fine. You know, if the paper company pays you, you know, you get a check in the mail or something. No. You pay for the papers.
Collect.
You pay for the papers yourself.
You're a middleman.
And then you have to go door to door. And these old fucks, I got this old track, and I would see them in there. I'd knock on the door. Right. I'd see them in there ignoring me.
Right.
So some months I ended up paying for this awful job.
It's a money losing proposition.
It was about 3 hours a morning. It was hell on earth, 7 days a week. Yep. And I think the most I ever made was like $40 a month once. I had the job for 2 years. I don't know why I continued.
Why did you do it for so long?
I don't know. Because I'm stupid. But I understand wanting $2. I get that.
Yeah. That's like 10% of your earnings.
And there is multiple chase scenes involving the paper boy in this. Better Off Dead.
Okay, it's an inspired choice. Anderson.
1985.
It's an inspired choice.
It's a fantastic movie.
Job.
It really is one of the forgotten great little 80s teen comedies.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad we said non-car chase scenes and not non-vehicle, because that is a vehicle.
What's a vehicle?
It's a little bike, a little tricycle.
It's a bike.
Well, this counts.
With skis at one point.
It works.
And I didn't even give away, like, you know, the final time you see the paper boy. This is a good book. 7.3 on the old IMDb there.
Can I stream this bullshit? Can I watch it?
You know what? In doing my research and looking for these $2 clips, actually, I let one play out and I was doing something else in the studio. And then all of a sudden, the full movie started playing in its entirety. So you can find it on YouTube.
Okay.
And great HD quality, too. It looked really good. I don't usually recommend watching movies on YouTube, but if you got an Apple TV over there, you can just stream it right through.
Right,
and it's
on the big
not bad. Not bad.
All right. Logan, let's hear the listener top five, please.
All right, number five, the opening scene from Men in Black.
That is a great scene.
That one is really good.
The opening scene before
the Will Smith chase scene.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Number four, No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
But the hotel scene.
That's the one that I remember before the dog scene.
It's later in the film.
Oh, like the where the
he's,
okay, yeah.
He's
yeah,
waiting
yeah.
by
yes,
the
yes,
by
yes.
the lock.
Yes, yes.
Number three, Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, Brian.
Oh, on the speeder bikes?
The speeder bikes.
You're voting for the listeners?
Not a car.
Listeners?
You're right, not a car.
You're voting for the listeners?
Number two, Point Break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smart move, kids.
It's great. It's a very great scene.
And the number non-vehicular chase scene is Casino Royale.
Yeah, fucking A.
It's voted on by our listeners.
Casino Royale. So number one was one of mine, number two was one of yours. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
We split the difference.
I'll never forget that. Oh, what I was saying earlier is during the Amazon read was a lot of people are now, literally dozens of emails of people weighing in, letting me know what they thought of Frank. And it's bizarre how I wouldn't think that movie would be so divisive as far as like.
Oh, I can see that.
So many people either absolutely love it or they're just like, what did you see in that movie?
Right.
It's funny. I think about 2/3 of the people that are hitting me up love it. A lot of people are really saying that they like that movie. I love Frank. I've seen it 3 times now.
Yeah. All right. Didn't like it as much as you, obviously, but there was some stuff in there that was worth taking away from me.
Itchy britches. Here we go. Also Rans.
Yeah.
Ben Hur, but it was more of a
race. Yeah, I also thought of that. I wrote it down, too. Well, what did I cross off here? Is the Wolf of Wall Street, is that a chase scene?
Yeah, it's not. It's not. I actually researched that one and looked at it because I remember it being a chase scene, like a slow motion chase scene, but not so. Like, I guess kind of like he was racing for the phone. That would have been a fun one. I was looking for something really slow. Terminator, there's a scene of Terminator where it's really super slow.
Right.
And he's like almost all, like, you know, he's like just crawling towards.
Yep.
That's a good one.
That is a great, the way he chases her through the climactic scene, chases her at the end is fucking fantastic.
Really well executed there by old
Pulp
James
Fiction
Cameron.
Has a great slow chase.
James Cameron, who changed cinema forever by giving us Avatar.
That's right. Changed Pulp Fiction has
forever.
A great slow chase
forever.
Between Bruce and Marcellus. Uh-huh. Bruce Willis and Marcellus. Butch and Marcellus. Remember when he hits him with the car and he chases him to the pawn shop?
Yes, yes, yes.
Slow chase.
And then turns into the gimp.
That does
scene.
Happen.
Yeah.
Lone Ranger, of course, I mentioned a couple weeks ago.
Ferris Bueller, Chase Against Time.
Oh, stop it.
That's great.
Don't be clever.
It's not clever. He's being chased by Rooney. It's just it's not linear.
Train Spotting has a great chase scene, kind of opens the film and also bookends it a little bit towards the end.
Brick.
I didn't like Brick.
I didn't like Brick either, but there's a great chase scene in that movie.
I wanted to like Brick because everyone seemed to enjoy it.
It's a hardcore chase scene.
Mm.
Rainn Johnson's first movie.
Back to the Future 2. Hoverboards, Back to the Future 2.
Is that his first?
It's an early film for sure.
Brick.
The Shining.
Oh, you know
chasing
what?
Through a maze.
You know, the maze was not in Stephen King's book.
Mm.
Maze was invented by Kubi.
In the Line of Fire, great chase scene.
Good and the Bad and the Weird had some great stuff. With horses.
Still in my queue.
Horses and motorcycles.
The Matrix, of course, and Skyfall had a good chance.
Reservoir Dogs? I have Rock and Roll, yeah. Apocalypto, the entire fucking movie, as well as The Warriors, the entire fucking movie. Both those movies, just an entire movie. Chase. And the one that I thought of while sitting here doing, oh wait, could have gone extra hipster and done The General again, Buster Keaton, because they were literally chasing each other on trains, but I just talked about The General not too long ago. Back to the Future, the hoverboards. Bourne Ultimatum has got a good one. Hot Fuzz has a good one, even though it's just like a composite of all the great chase elements from movies past.
Right.
But that's what Edgar Wright did there, Hot Fuzz. But Evil Dead 2, what Sam Raimi did with the POV of the demon, and he's chasing Bruce. It's hilarious. It's really well done. It's fantastic. I've never seen anything like that before in Evil Dead 2. Do you know what I'm talking about? Logs.
No, I never got around to seeing that, even though you sent it to me.
I sent you it too.
You assigned it to me.
I did.
My book assignment.
Evil Dead 2. There's some really good stuff. He's chasing his hand at one point too, and the hand is his own hand is chasing him. Yeah, it's good stuff.
He's catching up with the gambling.
I don't like this.
Last week, you're gonna like this.
Pretty sure you won.
I'm gonna like it.
I think last week 70% or something.
You gambled on Jupiter Ascending, and there was a 39% Rotten Tomato score. Anderson bid 53. Brian just above that with 66.
Oh yeah, you went Lemieux.
Currently, the week after its release, Jupiter Ascending's Rotten Tomato score is 22%.
So who won?
Breaking Anderson's losing streak.
Wow.
Do you have any idea how many weeks in a row I won?
I won a couple.
We'll have to consult our good friend Michael Cole.
I'm guessing it's double digits. Couple digits. Itchy britches.
All right, you know what?
What's up, buddy? Oh, so many films out there.
Here's what we're going to do.
What are we going to do?
I'm going to send you a movie.
Make it count. Oh, okay.
It's a TV
movie. Send
me. Wait for TV.
All right. Can't imagine why you would do that.
Yeah, I'm going to do this. Right. I have not flick-fested. I have not found the appropriate time to talk about it. I'm a little bit apprehensive because it's not easily readily available for the listener, but this is a movie that deserves to be talked about. Made for the BBC, I believe. British flick.
Black Mirror.
Hour and 4 minutes. Same vein as Black Mirror, Brian.
Wow.
It's got the same tone. A little movie called Cyber Bully. Coming your way! I'm going to send you the link.
Can't wait.
All right. Oh, don't. Hey.
I'm psyched.
Cyber Bully.
Okay.
Riveting.
Let's do it.
Watched it with the wife. We were both riveted.
Really?
Cyber Bully. Okay. We'll both talk about it next week.
I'm in.
Fuck yes.
This week, you're going to be gambling on Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Oh.
What was it? I put my finger in my ear right when you said it.
Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Okay, I'm glad he brings this up. How many trailers have you seen of this?
Quite a few. Adverts.
This is Matthew Vaughn doing what Matthew Vaughn does, which is this movie. However, Samuel L. Jackson's character.
Lispy.
Racist?
Why?
Because it's like, it's one of those movies where like the bad wardrobe is so distracting.
Okay.
Like he's supposed to be like, the main kid is supposed to be like cool. First of all, he bugs the fuck out of me. But like his like flat build, like brand new hat, like everyone's clothes is just brand new. Right. And like they're trying
to start a thing.
When like a nerd tries to like dress people that are supposed to be like badasses, but it just looks goofy. Right. Like this whole movie looks Disney. And then all of a sudden, like everyone's, all of a sudden Samuel L. Jackson shows up with like bright orange clothes and like a New York Yankees hat on sideways. It just looks like he's doing like step and fetch it.
So you're not on board.
It looks exceptionally offensive. No, am I alone here?
No, I don't think it looks like that at all. I think that the movie's going to be very stylish, and there's going to be some explanation for the why he is the way he is.
It's going to look very dark and silent to me.
You're not going to see it?
Never. Ever.
All right, let's guess the score before we give away too much.
Very critic-proof, though. Critics are really loving this movie.
How do you know?
Yeah, been reading about it.
I don't know anything about it.
Well, critics really seem to...
Or are they?
Really seem to like this movie.
God damn. Are you serious?
Oscar buzz already for 2016.
God damn you.
Oscar.
I think you're bullshitting me.
All right. Let's do this.
What is that?
37.
I must have the opposite number. I have 74. I think this is going to be good. I think this is going to be a sleeper hit.
Well, currently...
Why is it being released now?
Movies come out, and this Lego movie came out.
But that's not a good movie. It's not even up for an Oscar.
That's a good point.
You got to have at least one good movie in February, March time. You get one.
What are you saying, bud?
I'm saying that the week before release with 52 reviews, Rotten Tomato score is 80%.
This actually looks pretty good. Are you not down with the Kingsman? You know what's going to be funny is when you lose on the Kingman.
All right, not cyberbully. Not cyberbully this week. Guess what you're watching?
Cyberbully.
Get acquainted with the fire extinguisher. You're going to be watching Irreversible.
You can't change your assignment. Sorry,
show's not over.
I've already written it down. It's locked in.
All right, here's
Michael Cole's already written it down.
You make me watch Kingsman. Irreversible will be the very next pick.
Kingsman's good. It's 80%.
83, Brian. Listen up. Is it 83? 83, is that what you said? 83? Yeah. Certified fresh. Movie looks fucking...
80%.
80%. Offensive.
How is it offensive?
The kid is so... Like, it just seems like a movie that's made for like the 13-year-old boy and all of us.
I'll see and I'll let you know.
Yeah, but you're going to like it because it looks real steely.
It doesn't look like you're steel at all.
It's like it's aimed at the same fox.
Brian will like it because it kind of pays tribute to like the old James Bond movies.
Yeah, it's got like a cool
British
James
classic
Bond
spy
thing.
Movies.
The Matrix. I mean, ever since The Matrix, everyone's got to do all their shit in slow motion now.
Thank you to our featured artists this week. We appreciate it, guys. Check them all out, AndersonandBrian.com. And that's where you go to see the fan art this week from Joe Cherry, to comment on the episode, on the anything you'd like to comment on, and see a list of all the films we talked about. You're like, oh, is that one movie they talked about? It's right there on under honorable mentions on the episode page. And what else? Check us out, The Film Vault, on both Facebook and Twitter. Facebook and Facebook.
What is tweet?
What is tweet? Anything else?
After you got anything to promote? Oh, After Disaster was pretty decent this week, I think. You learn stuff.
AndersonDisaster.com.
Puddle Pity Party. You learn about that. You learn about bullets.
AndersonDisaster.com.
Bullets moving and changing directions. They finally figured that out. Okay. They're doing that for the military.
Like Unwanted.
Camera Obscura.
Like Unwanted.
You learn all about Camera Obscura.
Okay.
And as well as we round it out with talking about American Hippo. But here.
So that's a lot.
On this program.
Yeah.
We do it for Van Gogh. Well, I misplaced that pretty case that held my mind at ease. But I can't change my petty ways. And I know you're begging, please. Cause no one likes a lonely night to come along with me. An empty bed to rest your head on and dream your life away. True Car, Brian.
True Car.
Everyone's talking about True Car.
When you're ready to buy a car, True Car is changing car buying forever.
Yeah, True Car helps car buyers get rid of the fear they might overpay, which everybody has when you walk into a lot.
It's the worst. Every day, True Car users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and True Car users save an average of, get this, $3,221 off MSRP.
So when you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, I said it, Brent, first.
First.
First, I said it first. You got to download that TrueCar mobile app.
Mm-hmm. TrueCar.com, that's
or,
where you go.
Or you can go to TrueCar.com mm-hmm. to find out what others paid for the car that you want. Then you register to set up front pricing information and lock in those savings.
Third step, simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. With TrueCar, you can save time, save money, and never overpay.
To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.